Hi, everybody. Welcome to the latest in our series of podcasts. My name is Alan Clark.
My name is Bhairav Patel. I'm the CEO, and well, you usually steal my thunder on this one, Alan. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to steal your thunder this time. So I'm the CEO and founder of Atom Ventures and Atom CTO. We are technology advisors to small businesses and generally work with pre-seed startups and small companies that turn over less than 20 million.
And I work with small, medium-sized businesses to help them unblock the blockages in marketing and strategy that are helping them reach their full potential. So today, what we want to have a little conversation around is pivoting. And when is the right time for a business to pivot?
Yes, so this whole topic stems from one of my pet hates. So I generally have these pet hates with all the jargon that we have around, well, even the word entrepreneurship, right? So, because it's all about business, and actually business has been going on for time immemorial, right? Since the first person traded their grain for a, you know, spanner or whatever it was back in the days. And so now we talk about pivoting as if it's something cool and that we should all think about doing, and pivoting is awesome. And now COVID has come and we should all pivot the business. And oh my God, it's amazing how I pivoted quickly. And I just don't see that. It doesn't make sense to me, right? Because to me, if my mind pivoting means you're going in one direction, okay, I pivot, I have to go in a completely different direction. But that's not really, I don't see that as a sensible way of doing business, right? For me, business should evolve. So I'll give you a good example. So when we were started off at Aztec Exchange, so we were doing invoice financing, trade finance, global trade finance. So we launched the platform globally in 2013. And the initial way that we were selling or conducting business was that a supplier would come onto our platform, put an invoice onto a marketplace, and you'd have a set of investors in the back end, so hedge funds, asset managers, who would then bid on those invoices and essentially buy them and fund them. So suppliers could get, there would be a kind of a difference in the rate of interest that the suppliers would have to pay, and there would be a difference in, say, the amount of money that they would get up front. So they could get anything between, let's say, 90% and 70% up front. And so as we evolved the business, what we found was, okay, the investors want to have a steady supply of invoices, and suppliers want to have a steady the notion that people are going to invest or buy their invoices, right? So they need to know that there's a steady flow of funds. So what we realized is actually creating a marketplace is very difficult, because to get the right quality of invoices and then finding the right investors for those invoices is tough, because you could have thousands of invoices, but the investors may only be interested in a small percentage. So then what do you do with the other suppliers, right? Then the problem is that your whole marketplace falls apart simply because 80% of your invoices aren't funded. So what we ended up having to do, and it evolved, that there were like three different, I would call them, business models within it, but they were all part of this. They were evolutions of the initial thought that we want to sell, but purchase invoices and fund trade finance globally. And the way that we ended up was by moving into the e-invoicing space, where you would take invoices directly from e-invoicing providers. So you'd have a very large set of invoices, so investors would know that there's a great pool of invoices, and you could vet the quality beforehand because you knew who the suppliers were, you knew who they were selling to, and you also could target the right suppliers and say to them, look, we know all the invoice flow you've got, we can guarantee you this amount of money. So ultimately, you've got a much more secure business model simply because you know that you've got the invoices and you know you've got the investors to actually to fund those invoices. But to me, and we changed that four times, and okay, I was the CTO of that company, and I know that we evolved the platform in that way, but it was an evolution, right? It wasn't a pivoting. But if you take it into modern parlance and modern jargon now, oh, we pivoted from a marketplace to an invoicing provider, but it wasn't, and it was never that sudden, and it can never be that sudden, right?
And is your frustration with the term pivot, or the implication of what pivot means, or just the common currency and a little bit of use of language that we now call that a pivot?
So I think there's a couple of things here, right? Firstly, terminology is poor. But secondly, I think it encourages people to think in maybe the wrong ways about their business, right? So if something's not working, let's pivot, right? And the whole notion of pivoting means let's just do something radically different than what we were doing before, because that's what seemed to work, and let's go and we're walking down this one path, let's jump lanes and run across the field and go join this other path that's down there, right? And I think that's my problem with it. People are going, oh, let's pivot, as if it's something that you can do on the whim, right? And right. It isn't.
Well, as though it is unnecessary for success. You must pivot.
Exactly. And it really isn't, it's good business sense. It's about evolution of the business, right? I mean, I was having, this is a bit of a tangential piece, but I was having a conversation with a very good friend of mine who's also my accountant, right? And so we were talking about growth and how hard it is.
Is that not a conflict of interest?
Probably, yes. Yes. But we're all talking about growing our businesses because he's having to hire people, we're hiring people, right? And so we were just discussing, you know, the way, like, obviously we don't know what's going to happen with COVID. We're in August now. What happens in October, November, how bad the recession is, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, oh, well, COVID's bringing in these additional forces. And I'm like, well, is it really? Because the problem is, right, it's not COVID. The problem is our growth and having sustainable growth and ensuring that the people we hire, we can pay for them going in 6 months, 12 months, 18 months down the line. That's just a normal part of business, right? Mm-hmm. There is nothing different today. If COVID didn't exist, you'd still have to figure that out, right? Yeah. How do you generate enough income? It just has become harder to generate that income or get your message out because there's so much other stuff going on at the minute. But it wouldn't have to be COVID for that to happen. It could be absolutely anything in the business world that could happen.
So is that about there was an external influence that has made people change how they do business, as opposed to some of the frustrations, which are there's an internal driver that says we simply have to change for the sake of change?
Well, I think that's where things get interesting, right? So people are talking about COVID and how they've pivoted successfully during COVID. But really, so there was one article that was about a dog groomer who obviously couldn't get the dogs, people to come in to deliver their dogs, so went out did mobile grooming. Now, and that's a pivot. But is it really a pivot? Or is that just an intelligent evolution of your strategy, right? Yeah. How is that different from what he's still dog grooming and he's still grooming, he's just doing it in a different location. So how is that a pivot, right? Because to me, the whole notion of pivoting is doing something completely different from what you're originally setting yourself out to do. So the famous examples of people like Instagram that were doing, Instagram that was a company that was doing like Foursquare. So you could check in to sites and then they found that this is all too much. So let's just do photos. And so that's Instagram was born, right? Now that is a significant pivot because that's hiving out a whole bunch of your business model and saying, okay, we're going to just hive it down to this, strip it down to just this small bit here and then focus on that going forwards, right? Mm-hmm. But going from a dog groomer in your office, like in your building, to being mobile, that's not a pivot. That's just an evolution of a strategy. And I think my problem with it all is that if you start making people think that they need to do something big and bold to change their business because it's COVID, oh my God, we need to pivot now, we are working from home, oh my God, life has changed completely. Is it really? I mean, you would want people to have a better work-life balance, surely, right? You'd want people to be able to have the flexibility to work from home. So surely all of this has done is it evolved your business rather than made you pivot.
But I'm reminded of one of my really early inspirations when I was literally, I must have been in maybe just early high school, and there used to be a program on television called The Troubleshooter that was probably one of the first reality business type programs when somebody went in and looked at a business. And it was a guy called Sir John Harvey Jones, who at that time was the chairman of ICI, who was the troubleshooter. And I remember watching these programs long before I had any real notion of having the career I've ended up having, and thinking, all he does is go in, have a look, and dispense common sense. There was nothing that seemed terribly rocket science about it. It was usually just doing the obvious and doing it well. But the point of this reference is, I also remember something he said at that time when he was being interviewed about his job. And I thought, that's really, you know, I wonder what the job of chairman of ICI, who were then probably the biggest industrial conglomerate in the UK. And he said, my job is to change ICI as fast as I can without breaking it. And that 40 years ago, put in that notion in my mind, really drove it home that this is all about nothing stands still. And if you're not changing and developing, you're going backwards. And man, I look back in my career and look at some of the times when we actually thought we've nailed this, let's carry on doing what we're doing. And we probably did very well, you think, one instance for about 5 years. And then by the time we got our head up, we watched the opportunity had passed by. And I think that supports your view about this is about continual evolution and development. But I suppose it's a little bit like a frustration I have with this whole thing about we're disruptive. You know, any new invention, new business that is actually going in to do something that is not the norm, not just be a me too, for time immemorial has been disruptive. It's just that we managed to put a new name around it and gave it something that was very trendy 5 years ago.
So again, this goes back to my whole gripe with terminology, right? So for example, a washing machine, it was disruptive.
Yeah.
Right? Simply because it freed up people from having to spend all the time washing their clothes, yeah. And it made it more efficient and quicker. So you have more time to do other things. That's disruptive. Like the smartphone was disruptive, but no one thought it was disruptive when it first came out because it was just another phone and you couldn't do very much with it. Right? And now you can.
Apple pivot when it started making iPhones?
Well, yeah, that's a great question, isn't it? Because I think I was listening to a podcast on this the other day, actually. I don't know if it was necessarily a pivot or, again, was it? Because they were making wonderful computers that are very easy to use.
Well, Apple has always been about making technology useful and accessible to people.
Yes. So
there's
I think
absolutely no pivot in an iPhone. All we did was what we've always done, and we created a new product. Mm. You know, very quickly, it became the absolutely dominant revenue stream. But I don't think any of us think that 20 years from now, Apple will say the iPhone is our dominant product. We just don't know yet what they're about to invent next that will make technology useful to people.
No, so
it's
for
not
sure.
Pivot at all.
No, it's just, I think what Steve Jobs did, I mean, I honestly, I haven't read enough of Apple and all of the many, many books and films that have come out, I've kind of avoided. But what I can say is that essentially what they did was they took what they're good at and did more of it, right?
Yeah.
And so that's it.
Well, and what are they good at? Understanding people and how they want to use technology.
Yeah, exactly.
Or how technology can help them.
Yeah, and actually, and one of the other things that they did was spying and buying companies that could help them on that progress path, right? Buying ideas and technology that would help them on that path because they didn't have to invent all of it themselves, right? But I think a lot of what I'm getting at when it comes to the pivoting piece is it's that whole short-term mentality that we talked about last time, right?
Yeah.
It's that, oh, if I haven't changed, then I've failed, or I need to fail quickly in order to learn.
Uh-huh. Right?
And that's something where you're like, well, do you really? Surely you just want to do the best for your business and not do it quickly, but do it steadily and actually see how your business or sub-product services are reacted out in the people are reacting to it out in the market, and then evolve your strategy based on that rather than running out, sprinting out, doing something, dropping it, sprinting off somewhere else.
There's loads of great examples that we could talk about in terms of technology businesses that pivoted and became incredibly successful. And you used that example of Instagram, which I think, if I remember correctly, the first incarnation wasn't called Instagram.
It's Bourbon or something like that, yeah.
But it was called something else. So one says, then that business pivot to become Instagram, or really, did they just start a new business? So there was no pivot involved in it at all. It was, we killed off what we were doing, which is not working, and we started a new business.
Exactly. So then one of the reasons to bring up this topic is that we're working with a few companies at the moment, and what we're seeing is that COVID hit, obviously, changed the way some people could work, and some of them adapted very well. But now what I've seen with some of them, and also some of the ones I've worked with in the past, is that they're chasing that change of strategy in a way that doesn't seem to me to think strategically, right? They're not thinking strategically in the way that they're doing it. So they're chasing this new path, which is valid and there's nothing wrong with it, but is that really how they want to be, has their business to be in X number of years time? Is that going back to the basics of why they created that business and what the whole purpose of the business is? Is this just changing what they're doing, a side like shoot branch that's coming off, or is it really that the core is been following?
This is where I do lots of work with businesses that I'm involved in, which comes back down to what's the big idea? Why does this business exist? What is it out there that you can address, the problem you don't want that a group of people have, that you can believe you can address, that will make you a better choice than any other option? So in terms of the business I was involved, particularly involved with in starting up, we recognized that the big opportunity out there was this global community of hard rock and heavy metal fans who were absolutely passionate about their subject matter. And this has come back 10 years ago or so, maybe 11 years ago now. And what we recognised was there was this digital media transformation going on, but actually, and the guys I was involved with knew this industry very well, so it was not research, it was growing up in that area, and they recognised that actually for rock and metal bands, they really had only analogue means to access the content that they really wanted. It wasn't just the recorded music, it was all the information, stories and stuff that went around it. So our big idea was, you know what, we can do better than those magazines, those shows where you have to be in the auditorium, those radio stations that are dotted about here and there. We can join all of this up and create an integrated online home for it. So that never changed. That was always the big idea. But I might have said we pivoted, because how we delivered that changed fundamentally. Because originally our plan was, with the benefit of hindsight, rather naively, it's going to be easier to start a small business than start a large business. There's a fallacy. It is much easier to start a big business than start a small business. But we'll come back to that another time. But we went out to try and raise a little bit of money to start creating the little seedling that we would then grow into the mighty oak. And after a year of trying to do that, we realized that there was not a lot of interest in investing in us germinating a seed. But there was an awful lot more interest in us buying an established forest and then reshaping it. Well, maybe my analogy, but hopefully you get the point.
Yeah.
So we couldn't raise 2 million, but we did raise 15 million to go out and buy a business and then reshape it. Is that a pivot? I don't think that was a pivot in the strategy of the business, because our ambition didn't change at all. The end goal, the insight, all of that, all that changed was how we delivered it.
No, I agree. So the question is, why do we talk about pivoting now? And why are there so many articles about how you pivot? What is the right time to pivot? Because surely when you're saying there's a right time to pivot, that's just nonsense, right? That's absolutely, there's no right, it's an evolution. It's you're going on, you're progressing, you're constantly reviewing your business and understanding where the future roadmap is, how the market's responding to what you're doing, what you think the market's going to change. That's it. Like, you can't have any time to pivot.
I read an article about this recently, and I thought it was a really great piece in it, a point in it. And it was about obstacles versus impossibilities. And overcoming obstacles is about perseverance and evolution.
Yes.
Overcoming impossibilities is impossible, and it's when you quit and do something different. So arguably, of all the businesses that have pivoted out there, none of them faced impossibilities.
No.
See, those are vision and possibilities, like Instagram and its original guys, stopped and did something new. That's not a pivot, that's a new business. All of the others who saw obstacles, persevered, and changed their approach, they just evolved their business. And this is also reminds me of a great quote from Winston Churchill of all people, who said something like, to improve is to change, but to be perfect is to change often. And that reminds me a bit of Sir John Harvey Jones, and is actually, if I'm going to be really good at what I do, the only constant is we're going to have to continually change what we do. So that goes back to the Apple analogy. From way back with the Apple One through their personal devices, what was that called? The little PDA thing they had that didn't really work. And then there was onto MP3s and all of that stuff, and then onto iPods, and then onto iPhones, and now onto watches and all of that. All they have done is continually evolve what they're doing, because they saw loads of obstacles, but they overcame them, went under, and carried on their journey. But if you look at Jobs and the computer company set up on his own, that found an impossibility, he could not break the market, stopped it. So I fear that we may be a little bit close to agreeing with each other, which is absolutely not the point of these podcasts. But I'm not sure any business has ever successfully pivoted.
No, I don't think so either. So we are kind of in agreement here. But one of the things I'd ask you as a business consultant to small businesses and startups, what do you see? Like, what? Because obviously there's a huge amount of noise out there about pivoting and changing business models and et cetera, et cetera. So what do you see from the companies that you mentor and coach and help to grow? How are they actually coping with this COVID crisis, but also generally pre that, how are they looking at their strategies and changing?
Well, I think there's an absolute universal truth in here and a bit of uncommon sense. A number of the companies I work with have done brilliantly over the last 6 months. And almost to a man and woman, they've said, weren't we really lucky? Wow, I can't believe we were so lucky how this has all turned out. And every one of them have said, luck wasn't part of that. What was part of that was the work that you did 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, where you said the status quo was unacceptable. The only way we are going to succeed is by identifying the obstacles that are going to come down the line and making sure that we are on the front foot in identifying those obstacles and then developing plans and strategies to make sure that we are ready for when that becomes manifest. And interestingly, that also comes down to the whole issue around what marketing is. And I'll preach this forever, a great definition from the Institute of Marketing. It's a management process about identifying, satisfying, and anticipating customer requirements. So that all fits in this area of about, it's not just where the world is now, it's about what's coming down the line and how do we make sure we're right for it. So none of them identified COVID as an obstacle that would come along. But all of them were thinking about issues around how we engage customers, how we service customers, how we deliver our products for a dispersed digital world. So when the analog physical world shut down, they were largely able to carry on as they did before, because they were already living that world. So none of them, well, I think of one that went from having a factory production unit with 30 people on the production line to 5 people on the production line that generated more revenue and more profit with 5 people. They didn't pivot. What they did was they were absolutely ready for the new. They didn't make anything new. They just made more of a smaller section of what they were doing already, because that's what customers' requirements were. So I don't see that as a pivot in any way at all. All that was a realigning of what they were already doing, and they were absolutely spot on. So I'm sure there are lots of businesses out there that have said, we have pivoted during lockdown, and using your dog water analogy, or dog groomer, you haven't pivoted at all. All you've done is slightly change how you deliver your business to suit the current circumstances.
So my question then is, why do we talk about it so much?
One of these really bloody frustrating things that in the world that we live in, there's got to be the today's subject, the trendy subject, the buzzword of the moment. You know, it's been a while since I've heard anybody really bang on about we're disruptive. And I actually wrote a blog piece about 3 years ago. And the headline was something like, is this the year disruption dies? And my point there was, it's just a word for something that's been going on forever. And the number of pictures I saw, clients stand up and say, yeah, we're disruptive. Well, who if they do? You know what, we've seen 10 pictures today. Everyone started off as saying we're disruptive. So you know what, you've just banged yourself right back into the bog average. You are no different to everybody else.
If everyone is disruptive, then isn't everyone becoming the same?
And it's the same as now saying, yeah, we pivoted the business to take advantage of this. Yeah. There's never been, if you follow this John Harvey Jones view of 40 years ago, my job is to change the business continually. Sure, there's little tweaks that you do, but there's also big differences you make. You know, I think of when I was a kid, every hospital bed had one product beside it, because the people in the hospital beds were ill, and it was called Lucozade. And now, this afternoon, I'm off to go and do some football coaching, and all the young kids are going to run in holding bottles of, or sports bottles with a special little cap of Lucozade, because you know what? That's what athletes drink, because it's really good for fit and healthy people. So when we were thinking about, when I was thinking about today's subject matter, I thought that's probably a really good example of a pivot in reality, because they actually took what they stand for and changed it entirely. But again, that's just part of saying we are not always going to be what we've always been. Similar Starbucks. You know, what is Starbucks now? It's a shop on every corner that we can buy a coffee, largely to take away, but a coffee I can drink. When you go right back to the beginning of Starbucks, the man that founded Starbucks sold coffee machines to coffee shops to allow them to make coffee that people could drink. And was it a pivot or was it a natural evolution when he said, I make a one-off sale of a machine that they then use to make recurring revenues for a very long time, and only when they have maxed out the usefulness of that machine and made all the money, when they come back to me and buy another one. So do you know what? Maybe what I'm going to do, I'm going to carry on selling coffee machines. I might have a coffee shop as well. And then you learned over time that I make a hell of a lot more money selling the coffee than selling the coffee machines. And it's much more stable revenue flow.
So I guess to bring this into some focus around businesses. So I guess what we're trying to say to small businesses or entrepreneurs or whatever it is, don't think about failing fast. Don't think about the whole pivot. Don't have that notion in your mind. Have a core idea of what your business is and what it should be and what do you want it to be. And then constantly react to that business within the market. How are customers engaging with you? How are your employees engaging with the business? You know, how easy is it to get your product out there? Is it liked? Is it desired, etc.? And then evolve it as you
absolutely. As you, I use a little model around what strategy means, and at the heart of it is your core strategy, and then built around the nucleus of the atom is your finance strategy, your production strategy, your R&D strategy, and how that all builds off that core strategic vision and strategic plan for the business. And when I used to originally use that, it was just this little atom. And then it occurred to me that there was a fundamental part missing, which was something that encapsulated all of that. And what I describe that is as the environment in which your business is operating. So you can go in and absolutely nail the vision and the core strategic plan, and then look at all the key elements of your business and say, right, how is that going to allow me to deliver the core strategy for my business? What do I need to do in the area of finance or production or R&D to allow us to deliver that? And then how do I join all of those bits up? But the thing that I wasn't sharing effectively was, you can't just do this and then say we've done it, because this outer circle is the environment you work in, and that is continually changing. So the fact that you nail your strategy now, it doesn't mean it's going to be right when you wake up tomorrow morning. So when we look at that, we then end up in the position that things like COVID come along, and did the business pivot? No, it adapted its strategy. I think a pivot only really happens when that core big insight fundamentally changes. And I might argue at that point, you're now creating a new business. You're not pivoting.
Yeah, it's like when a hairdresser becomes an estate agent, right? That's a
absolutely
that's a pivot, right? You're still using the same people, maybe even definitely resources, and then you're just changing into something completely different. Okay, so what would you say our final advice to businesses is when it comes to the notion of pivoting, and when people say, "Did you pivot?"
Or, my absolute, and this comes down to lots of the advice I give out, is, you know what, avoid the current buzzword or the buzz phrase. The fundamentals of what you're doing in your business are no different to what every business has done forever. So pivoting and disrupting and digitizing are not things you say, we must do a bit of pivoting, we must do a bit of disrupting, we must do a bit of digitizing, or even in one of my core areas, we must do a bit of marketing. These are all constants in every business. And your role as a leader of the business is to make sure, as good old Sir John Harvey Jones told me 40 years ago, that you are continually evolving and developing your business as fast as you can without breaking what you already have.
Yeah, and I think for my part, don't run your business like a 5-year-old playing football. Don't chase the ball, right? You've still got to understand the tactics and the strategy of getting there to win. Don't just run around with the best. So, because again, one of the things I'm seeing is that people are, because they're finding a new path, they're just running down that path, without really thinking, how is this going to play out over X number of months? And the reason I have this opinion is simply because people, and I've seen it with companies that we work with, they're just suddenly buying technology, right? Oh, well, this is what you need to do now. Let's go and integrate this. Let's go and buy this. And then, what's your long...
That's a bit like mine. We need to do some marketing.
Yeah.
Well, no, you're always doing marketing. And if you're not always doing it and evolving it and developing it, can't go out and buy a yard of it and say that was good. I love your analogy with the football team now. Because, I'm now, my team I've seen grow up from under 8 to now playing at under 21s. And at under 8, it was all, you ask any of the boys now, it was all about what I did when I have the ball. And now they were under 21s, they'll say 95% of my game is what I do when I don't have the ball.
Exactly.
And that is about having that bigger picture about the outcome and where we're aiming to get to here. And you know what? I could be man in the match and only touch the ball 5 times, but I was always in the right place at the right moment to make sure they never gave it to their best player, because he was always marked.
All right, I think on that note, we should probably end this. Otherwise, I feel that we can keep going for quite a long time.
But before we end, there's one little thing I'm going to ask to anybody that has been kind enough to listen to us share our thoughts on this. We need to come up with a name for this now. Alan and Barab having a chat isn't really up to it. So what we're going to do is we're going to make some suggestions and ask for anybody who's interested to either vote on the ones that we have or send us in your suggestions. And maybe by the next time we record one, hopefully we'll have a name that actually reflects on what we do.